discover the inherent power of God in you.
Whether there are challenges or not, we are still the same. We are constant. God is constant. God does not change. And that is the life that we have received. He says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the same life we have also received. We are also the same yesterday, today, and forever. What kind of life? We are the same because we have the same life with Christ. So when you think about God, think about you. Because everything he is, that is why he told Abraham, he said, I am your exceeding great reward. God gave himself as a reward to Abraham. And we are the seed of Abraham. Therefore, we have inherited God himself.
Listen to Pastor Oti Boateng as Christ is magnified in you.
You eat because you're a human being. You don't do those things to be made a human being. You do them because that's what human beings do. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we live right. We live for God because we are the righteousness of God. Not because we want to be accepted before God. Hallelujah. The moment you change it to think that, oh, I am blessed because I do this and I do that and I do that, you are putting yourself into trouble. Go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. Galatians 5, verse 4. It says, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Jesus has nothing to do with you. It's like, Jesus can't affect you. Jesus Christ cannot influence you. You become like we have conductors and we have what? Of electricity. You become an insulator. The power of God cannot pass through you. Things cannot work. It says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified or made right by the law or made right by the things you do. You are falling from grace. To fall from grace means to think that God, you are to be blessed and you are to be healed because of the things that you have been doing for the Lord. Ask your neighbor, how far? Is that what you have been thinking? If you have been thinking like that, it says Christ will have no effect. Christ can't help you. Healing can't come. That's why some people are in the church for a long time. They can't be healed because they demand that they be healed because they are in church. Because I'm an usher, God, I'm doing all, and they pray like that. They pray like that. God, all the things I'm seeing, so you will not prosper me. All the things I'm doing, you will not prosper me. All the things I've been doing in your house, you will not make me healthy. All the things that you are made healthy, not because of what you do, but because of what Jesus did. By his stripes, we are healed. Not by your works, you are healed. By his stripes, you are healed. He says, when you think like that, that I'm singing in the choir. God, I'm singing in the choir. Give me a husband, though. Give me a husband because I'm singing in the choir. Oh, it means that you are doing what you're doing to get something from God. No, God, you are a child of God. That, do you need to do some things for your father before your father will feed you? No, your father, your natural father doesn't do that. You didn't clean the car, so you are going to starve till tomorrow morning. What kind of a father is that? If your natural father does not treat you like that, how much more your heavenly father? Your heavenly father has brought you to a place where he showers on you good things. Psalm 5, verse 12. Look at Psalm 5, verse 12. Psalm 5, verse 12. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous, and with favor will thou compass him as with a shield. Are you the righteousness of God? He says, God blesses you. You are in the place where God is showering on you blessings every day. Not because of what you do, but because of what Jesus did. Because of what Jesus did, you are now in the place where God can shower. So God is doing tugumiso. Do you know tugumiso? God is showering you with blessings every day. Every day. He's showering you with blessings. Not because you do something good, but because you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. God hates it when you are the one infected. God doesn't want you to be in perspective. He wants his son to be in perspective. He wants Jesus to be in perspective all the time. He wants you to be Jesus conscious all the time. I'm the righteous of God because of what Jesus did. Have you ever read Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 before? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. How do you understand it? You see, there's a king of the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Who is the king of the kingdom of God? Jesus Christ. and his righteousness. Who is the righteousness of God? Jesus Christ. And all these things shall be added to you. So what he's trying to tell is to have Jesus in perspective all the days of your life. Yes. Can you imagine? It's not about working for the Lord. It's about a person. His name is Jesus Christ. Who is the righteousness of God? Who is his righteousness? Jesus is the righteousness of God. For by one man's offense, death reigned. And by one's obedience, righteousness reigns. Who is that one man? Jesus Christ. Yes. So it's actually about Jesus. Seeking Jesus every day. Seeking to understand more of him every day. The more you seek to understand him, the more he says, the things that everybody looks for will be added to it. More additions. You are now in the place where God showers on you. You stand in the place of righteousness. And because you stand in the place of righteousness, now God can shower on you. This is what God has wanted all this while. To bring you to this place where you are now standing now. But if you don't know it, you don't know it. That's why I'm preaching to you. So that you get to know it. Please, you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
See, I'm in some place. And because I'm in some place,
I'm graced.
I am favored. Blessed. All things are mine. And it's not dependent on what I do. Or what I don't do. You know, sometimes you don't read your Bible. The devil tells you. You don't read your Bible. And then some things are not going well. Then I think the devil will say, it is because you have not been reading your Bible. That's why all things are happening. Is it true? Because you don't know the word of God, you say, ah, it's true. And then you feel bad. And you don't end up reading your Bible anyway. You accept that, you stay in the condemnation for weeks. But if you learn to tell the devil that, listen, I am blessed because of Jesus' work. What Jesus did on the cross is why I'm blessed. I am delivered from all problems. Not my works, because of Jesus. If you've not read the Bible, feel hungry.
Yeah.
When you are hungry, what do you do? You look for food.
Yes.
So if I've not read my Bible, it's a matter of me being hungry, not me feeling guilty. You shouldn't feel guilty if you've not read your Bible. You should feel hungry. Are you in the church or have gone home? I remember there was some weeks ago that I was moving around a lot, so I couldn't read my Bible. I was reading my Bible every day, but I couldn't read it as much as I prefer. I felt so weak, like something is wrong. And I knew what it was. I knew it is, I have to get more time. I felt hungry than guilty. And I just created some time so I can spend some more time. And I sat down and read my Bible and got myself exposed more to the word. And I began to feel full. That's how it's supposed to be. Not, hey, you didn't do this. That's why this is happening. You didn't do this. That's why that is happening. You didn't do that. That's why this is happening. It's the devil who is saying things. And God doesn't accuse us. So it's the devil who accuses us. The devil teams up with your conscience to accuse you. You must develop a good conscience. Sit down for 2 minutes. You must learn to develop a good conscience. If you don't develop a good conscience, your conscience will team up with the devil and criticize you every day. So Paul talks about faith and a good conscience. Having faith and a good conscience. I don't know if I should go to that side. You need a good conscience. It is your conscience that condemns you, not Jesus. Jesus doesn't condemn. Why would Jesus condemn you? Is he not he who died and brought you to become his righteousness? Romans chapter, let's go to Romans and we'll come to this. Romans chapter 8, verse 33 and 34. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Isn't it not God who made you righteous? So he says, who shall lay anything to your charge? It is God who justifies. God is the one who makes you righteous. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who is also making intercession for us? So God is not the one who criticizes you or condemns you. He says, who is he that condemneth? Let's read a lighter version. It's English. He says, so nobody can say that God still should punish us. Nobody can say that because Christ Jesus himself died on our behalf. Also, God raised Christ so that he became alive again after his death. And now Christ is sitting on God's right side. And he himself is praying to God on our behalf. So Jesus is always interceding for you, always trying to help you, always helping you, not condemning you. 33. Go to that in easy English, right? Go to 33 in easy English. NLT. Let's read NLT. Can we read it together? One, two, go. No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, but your conscience tries. We should go to verse 34. Okay, go to verse 34. Can we read it together? One, two, go. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us and is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. So, yes. So he's not the one who condemns you. Your conscience is what condemns you. 1 John 3:20. Go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. NLT, or should you read in King James? Any of them. 1 John 3:20. Your conscience, say my conscience, is the one who tries to condemn me. Because your conscience is not born again. Your conscience is not saved. Huh? And your conscience has been educated by your old man, the old man of sin, to think in a sinful way and to accuse you. Mainly to accuse you. Look at this. And then it says, for if we feel guilty, go to 19. Go to 19. Go to 18. Come read it together. Hello? Are you in the church? Slap your neighbor and ask your neighbor, neighbor, you around? 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 Your neighbor is around, right? Are you following what I'm talking about? Okay, so let's read together. One, two, go. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God. Next verse. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings and he knows everything. Hey. Next verse. Verse 21. One to go. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence. Even this one is not saying it nicely. And there are versions that talk about the conscience. N-E-T. Let's read N-E-T. Go to verse 20. 20. Go to verse 19. Let's read it together. One to go from verse 19. One to go. And by this we will know that we are of the truth and will convince our conscience in his presence. If your conscience needs to be convinced, you need to learn to educate. You need to tell your conscience what the word of God says. You need to tell your conscience, I am accepted before God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you educate your conscience will say the right things to you. If you don't learn to educate your conscience will accuse you all the time. He says that if our conscience condemns us, that, what is this? Go to verse 19, please. Let's read it together from verse 19. One, two, go. And by this, we will know that we are of the truth and will convince our conscience in his presence. Next verse. And that God is greater than our conscience and owes all things. If our conscience condemns us, God is greater than our conscience and knows all things. God is greater than your conscience. And you must let your conscience know that God is greater than you, my friend. Yeah. Because your conscience that accuses you or excuses you. That's in Romans chapter 2. You know, verse 32, I believe. Their conscience, the meanwhile accusing or excusing them. Your conscience. So you need a good conscience for your faith to work. Faith is your ability to believe God or ask God for things for it to happen. Okay? And for things to happen, what verse is it? No, verse 1 is too far. I just want conscience accusing or excusing. Romans 2, verse 15. Romans 2, verse 15. They show that the work of the law is written in their hearts. As their conscience bears witness and their conflicting thoughts accuse or else defend them. It's actually the conscience that accuses or excuses you. Do you see? And let's read King James. King James. Who show the work of the law written in their hearts? Their conscience also bearing witness. And their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. Their conscience, your conscience can accuse you. It says you that if your conscience is accusing you, remember that God is greater than your conscience. You have a responsibility of teaching your conscience to know the word of God. It's the same as saying renewal of your mind. It's the same thing. BB of this verse. Let's read BB of this verse. You like my message? Let's read it together. Let's read it together. One, two, go. Because the work of the law is seen in their hearts, their sense of right and wrong giving witness to it, while their minds at one time judging them and at another time giving them approval. It's the conscience that judges you or gives you approval. Your conscience will tell you, this thing is not right. Or it will tell you, this thing is right. But the conscience has been taught in a way by your old man, by the one who was not born again, to accuse you more than any other thing. And you need to learn to train it to, we must come before God with a good conscience. It says our conscience must be sprinkled with pure water. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Look at this. It says, let us go in with true hearts, in set faith, having our hearts made free from the sense of sin, and our bodies washed with clean water. Let's read King James. Can't read it together. One to go. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. It says your mind needs to be sprinkled from an evil conscience. Do you see? Hello? God doesn't like it when you have an evil conscience, when you have a bad conscience. That tells you that you are not blessed because of this. It's your conscience that tells you. The devil teams up with it. You are sick because this sickness has come because you did that thing. God doesn't want you to think like that. God wants your conscience to know that you are healthy because Jesus died on the cross for you. And you remain healthy for the rest of your life. So, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19, Paul says, you need a good conscience for your faith to work. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. You see, he says, holding faith. Go to verse 18. Go to verse 18. This charge I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. He says, he wants you to produce results. He wants you to get fruits. He wants you to have results wherever you go. Okay? He wants you to wage a good warfare with the prophet. The things that have been said concerning you will come to pass. Okay? By you using what has been said, praying with what has been said. Then he says in the next verse, holding faith. You need faith to wage a good warfare. And you need a good conscience to wage a good warfare. Then he says, concerning a good conscience, some have put away concerning faith and have made shipwreck. You make shipwreck when you leave good when good conscience is not there. Your faith cannot work. If your conscience is seared, if your conscience is evil, if your conscience is accusing you all the time, you are coming to pray. Father, thank you. And then your conscience tells you, you see, you have not fasted enough. You can't pray. This request you are going to make, it's not going to be accepted. Your faith will not work. Why? Because your conscience just told you that you are not accepted. Hebrews 10 to yes. Your conscience says you are not accepted. And when you accept what your conscience is saying, you see that you can't pray anymore. And so your faith cannot work. He says, for your faith to work, you need a good conscience. You need to tell your conscience. When your conscience tells you that you've not fasted enough, so this prayer will not work, you open your eyes and you tell your conscience. That is more than one reason why my faith will work. Because I am not accepted based on my fasting. I am accepted based on Jesus' sacrifice. So I can make this request. The Father himself loves me. Therefore, I'm going to pray and I'll get answers. Do you get it? Yeah. Then your faith can work. God doesn't like it when you have a bad conscience. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to give us a good conscience. So he says, you learn to educate your conscience The people of old had a bad conscience after they had sacrificed. God didn't like it. So he decided to send Jesus to make sure we get a good conscience. Yes. Hebrews 10 verse 2. For them would they have not ceased to have been offered, because that the worshippers once spared should have no more consciousness of sin. The Old Testament people still had a consciousness of sin. Jesus doesn't want you to have a consciousness of sin. That is why he came to die. So that the conscience cannot accuse you. Can you clap for Jesus for what he has done? Look at chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. I know I'm seeing a lot of things. You see, it's grace encounter. So the assumption is that you have a certain foundation. So I'm talking. You see, I'm not giving you points. I'm just talking. Tell neighbor he's just talking. Go to verse 13. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify it to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your what?
Conscience.
God, Jesus' blood has purged your conscience for the purpose of purging your conscience from dead works to so that you can serve the living God. Jesus' blood is to purge your conscience from dead works, like things that, like I do, because I do this, that's why I'm blessed. I didn't do this, that's why I'm not blessed. I did this, that's why I'm blessed. I didn't do this, that's what. No, he doesn't want that. So he sends his blood to purge your conscience from dead works, so that you can serve the living God. Hallelujah. The conscience is very powerful. The conscience needs to be educated. Purged with the blood of Christ. I'm blessed. When your mind is telling you, this thing, it won't work. Why won't it work? Because you didn't pray as you were supposed to. Remember, you were supposed to do 21 days fasting and prayers? And you ate when it was 12 o'clock the first day. So, forget about it. This project will not work. Your cell will not work. Your ministry is going to fail. Has your mind ever told you some of those things? I'm showing you what you should tell your mind when your mind tells you that. Educate your mind and tell your mind that, listen, this thing that I'm going to do, it will work, Papa. Why will it work? You tell your mind, why will it work? Because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus died. And he died so that my life will be a success every single day. So the business will work. The ministry will work. The cell will work. Everything will work. The what? The school will work. The marriage will work. Because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not because of what I didn't do some 21 day fast. I didn't do. My friend, go away. You can tell your conscience to go away. Your mind to go away. By educating your mind with the scriptures. God doesn't want you to be like, every time you are so down, you don't believe that things will work. No. A depressed bride. God doesn't want that at all. Always be conscious of how much the Father loves you. The Father loves you because you are in some place. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Look at Romans 5, 5. He says, and hope maketh not ashamed. The word hope is the things, confident expectation. Our expectation, the things we are expecting. He says, it will not be disappointed. Look at NLT. NLT. My future is working. He says, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. My hope will not be disappointed. Why? For we know how dearly God loves us. Because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So the more you know how much you are loved, the more you know that the future is going to be beautiful. The project will work. Why will the project work? The project will work because God loves me too much for the project not to work. Why does God love me? Because I'm in the place of his son. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Your consciousness of his love is what puts you over. That gives you victory all the days of your life. Hallelujah. See, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Your believing of the fact that you are the righteousness of God is what brings the blessings. You are now in some place, and hence you are in the place of favor. If you are on favor grounds, with favor shall he surround you like a shield. Since the blessings are upon the head of the righteous. Are you the righteous of God? You are blessed. Show me that verse. Psalm 5 verse 12 once again. Psalm 5 verse 12 verse 12. King James, please. Can we read it together? One to go. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. Are you the righteous? So what do you expect in life? Blessings. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich and added no sorrow. So if you hear blessing, what we are talking about is that it makes rich and adds no sorrow. It makes healthy and adds no sickness. It makes blessed. I mean, you are blessed. Are you the righteousness of God? Are you blessed? Can we read it together once again? One to go. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor will thou compass him as with a shield. Are you favored? Do you know what it means to be favored? To be favored means to be treated with preferential treatment. I'm treated with preferential treatment. When everybody is being rejected, I'm accepted. Are you a child of God? Are you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Then you accept it. TPT. Let's read TPT of this verse. TPT. More versions. You need more versions in your life. Let's read together. One to go. Lord, how wonderfully you bless the righteous. Your favor wraps around each one and covers them under your canopy of kindness and joy. You receive kindness and joy all the days of your life. See, I'm in the place of righteousness. I am blessed. I am favored. I am healthy. Sit down, I'm not done. Sit down, you think I'm done. I'm not done. Remember where I started from. I started from Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous by faith shall live. The just shall live by faith. It's actually those who are righteous by their faith in Christ shall live. You see, the word live is zao. The Greek word is zao. And zao means to be brought into joy, to be brought into peace, to be brought into health, to be delivered from wrongs and delivered from dangers all the time, to have a good life all the days of your life, to have your life maintained, to have your life sustained, to be what? To be restored, to enjoy, to be spoiled. Do you understand? Are you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? He says, you are the one who will live. You are the one who enjoy the life of God. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I am come that you may have life and have it to the full. Wait, what was he talking about? Was he talking about living forever? No, he was talking about something more than that. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. John 10:10. But I am come that they might have life. The word life is zoe. They might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. They might have it to the overflow. They might live. You see, zoe is the God kind of life. For you to live. Are you a dog? You are not a dog. A dog has a certain type of life. And because the dog has that type of life, the dog is limited. So, Bolito, what do you think? That dog is limited. A dog cannot marry. We can't go for the wedding of a dog.
No.
A dog cannot build a house.
Not at all.
We can't go for building dedication for a dog.
Not at all.
We can't go for naming ceremony of a dog. A dog cannot have a company, build an empire. No. Why can't a dog do all those things? Why? Because it has a different type of life. Different from a human being. Is a dog alive? Is a dog in your house? Is he alive?
Yeah.
It's alive. But it doesn't have the quality of life that you have. Even though you are both alive, the quality of your lives are different. The dog is alive. You are also alive. But the quality of life is not the same. You can take a hot shower in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
You can enjoy your air-conditioned room. And all of that. A dog cannot organize all of that for itself. Is it true? Why? Because of the type of life it has. Is it true? Now, there's another quality of life. It's called the life of God, which is higher than the quality of life that human beings can have. Do you understand what I'm saying? The life of God is higher than the life that a dog, the difference between the life of a dog and a human being. The difference between the life of God and the life of a human being is too vast. What human beings can do cannot be compared to what the life of God can do. And you have that life. When you got born again and you became the righteousness of God, the first thing Jesus did was to give you his life. Now you have the same life as he does. He says that the righteous by faith shall live. They shall enjoy that type of life.
Huh.
Human beings need to struggle. It depends on where you are born. If you are born from a poor home, you are in trouble. If you are born from a rich home, you may have some things, but you may spoil your life. Is it true? We know a lot of rich people's children who have gone bad because the money spoils them. We know a lot of poor people who have struggled many years, whatever. They may have come into limelight, but they've really struggled. Listen, the life of God does not care where you were born. It has nothing to do with your biological birth. It has everything to do with your spiritual birth. I wish you understand what I'm saying. Those who are righteous by faith, it says they shall live. They shall enjoy the life of God. Yeah. They shall enjoy the life of God. They shall enjoy a higher quality of life. No sickness. Can you imagine a human being who doesn't fall sick? A human being who touches leprosy and the leper becomes well. The leprosy doesn't affect him. But he rather affects the leprosy and the leprosy vanishes. That's the life you have. That's the type of life you have. COVID has come. It's not a problem. When you charge the COVID person, the COVID will be healed. Not you being afraid that you will get COVID. No, what kills human beings cannot kill you. The life of God is not killed. The life of God releases its life if it wants to. Jesus commended the Spirit to God. Jesus said, I have power to lay down my life and to take it back again. Do you understand? That's the life he has given to you. Indissoluble life. That's the kind of life you have. There was never a time where Jesus was in need. Like, he's so bad. So bad. It never happened. Why? Because of the type of life he has. That life is different from the life of human beings. When there was no, when there was nothing, he got bread, whatever, fish, gave thanks, and it multiplied. So you have the life of God, you have 20 Ghana. Take the 20 Ghana, bless it, give thanks for it, and it will multiply. That's the type of life you have. That's the type of life you and I have. Never in need, never down, never. That's the type of life. It says, are you the righteous of God? The righteous, the one who is righteous by faith will live, will enjoy the life of God. Will be delivered from all problems. How can the friend of God be hungry? You are righteous by faith. You are not a friend of God. You can now have intimacy with God. You cannot go. It's not possible. You can't fail. Why? That life does not fail. It's like seeing a dog. A dog does not bleat or talk to human. I mean, it's not possible. You cannot fail. Why? You have the life of God. Do you have the life of God in you? I the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, I can never fail.
Too late.
late.
It's too late to fail.
It's too late. It's too
late. Everything about me is working.
Everything about me is working.
Sit down for 2 minutes. Satan cannot exert upon that life. The righteous by faith will live. Human beings are affected by demons. Not those who are born again. Not those who are the righteous of God. Those who are the righteous of God cannot be affected and influenced by demons. Never. Higher life. You don't have those things. Yes. We have the keys of hell and death. Seated in heavenly places together in Christ Jesus. See, I'll never go down. See, I'll never be poor in my life. See,
I'm rich.
Do you believe that you are rich? Why are you rich? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I can never be poor. No. I'm in a sound place. I live a life of prosperity. I'm in a sound place. I live a life of health. Did you ever see Jesus say, "My pressure cost you. My pressure has gone up. My pressure is too much. My head is too much. I need insulin shots. I need this." Normal human beings have that. No, oh, as for human beings, that's the life of human beings. That's how it is. So don't be surprised when you see someone living like that. That is how it is on a normal day. But when you start to depend on the life of God, those things will vanish from your life. Read about Jesus. You know what type of life you have. Jesus was never sad. There was not a day where Jesus was sad. How will tomorrow be? I'm struggling. The economy is not good. I'm struggling. Mahama has come. Will this be a bad second coming? Oh, listen, that life is not dependent on the economy of the world. No. The path of the righteous is a shining light. Shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. It's getting better. We built buildings in the most pressure times. All the buildings we put up was during the last government's whatever, that a lot of people were crying. Everybody was crying. We didn't cry. Did we ever tell you that we're crying? There was no problem.
COVID,
that was when we built the Cyrus. Yeah. 9 months, it was done. Because I don't have that in my mind, that what human beings are going through. I'm not, as far as I'm concerned, I'm more than human. I'm describing your life. You are more than human. You are more than human. You have the life of God. You are the righteousness of God. And what affects human beings do not affect you. Because you are higher. You are higher. It's not a boast. We are not boasting.
No.
If you say that, oh, I'm better than a dog. Is it boasting?
No.
It's not boasting. You can't even compare. I mean, why are you even saying that you're better than a dog? It doesn't make sense.
It's like you're not sure.
It's like you're not sure of yourself. So we are just saying what we are. Read your Bible, you'll be fine. And believe what you're reading. There's one thing to believe. It will affect everything concerning your life. Yes. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 14. Verse 14, please. In righteousness shall thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. Far from oppression. Oppression cannot come close to you. Why? Because it says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Are you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? The life of righteousness, the life of a righteous man does not have oppression in it. Oppression of any kind. Oppression in the mind. Mental oppression. Physical oppression. Pocket oppression. Psychological oppression. It says, in righteousness shall thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear. Listen, there are Christians who depend on their natural life. It's actually a choice now. You can either depend on the natural human life Because you have both. You have the natural human life and you have the life of God. So it's actually up to you to believe in what God is saying concerning you, or to say that these things, the man he has come, he's wearing his blue suit, he's just walking up and down. He has a big church. Everybody is giving him money. That's why he's collecting big offering. That's why he's walking like that. He cannot be poor, whatever. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. The church is rich, but it's not my money. I'm not a fool. That's God's money. It's not my money. So I need to believe in the scriptures like you believe in the scriptures, so that my life can be sustained, so that I can be blessed. So what I'm sharing with, don't clap. What I'm sharing with you is not, I'm not sharing like I'm a big man. No. I'm a big man because I'm the righteous of God. Not because of church offerings. When was the last time you sent me money? Do you even know how to send me money? So I'm not here because of your money. No. That's not why I'm here. No. So don't think in a certain way like, how do you say that in English? Yeah, it's like he's standing on something. That's why he's talking like that. Even when my offering was 5 cedis, I was saying what I'm saying now. I'm sharing with you what I believed. Because that's what the Bible says. There's no oppression in my life. No sickness. No depression. No poverty. No worries. No fears. I don't have that. Normal human beings have that. We are not normal human beings. We are higher. Yes. We have a higher life. Yes. That life is not oppressed. That life is not afraid of things. Terror. It says, and from terror, for thou shalt not come, it shall not come near you. Terror cannot come near you. Why? You are the righteousness of God. There's a higher life that you have. Terror cannot come. I'm traveling and I had an accident. And then you never hear that news concerning me.
No.
By the grace of God. Because I believe what God says. Jesus never had an accident. I'm in some place. I never catch any accident. No matter how much the plane is shaking on the car, whatever. Everybody can go. I'm stepping out. If they don't believe, it's fine. Me, I'm stepping out. Wherever it is, I'm stepping out of that thing. When I'm ready, you see, do you know how the righteous die? Do you know how Jacob died? When Jacob was tired of living, he called everybody and blessed them. And then he gathered, the Bible says that he gathered himself into bed and gave up the ghost. Yeah. He gathered himself. You can check it in the Bible. It's in Genesis. He gathered himself. Genesis 49. Last verses of Genesis 49. Can you show it to us? 49, 33. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he commanded everybody. He gathered up his feet into the bed. He lifted up, because he sat down to bless everybody. When he finished, then he lifted up his feet into bed. And he yielded up the ghost. He died. He died. When he finished talking, he says, okay, I'm ready. Then he stepped out. Not Jacob was in bed. He was sick for 5 years. He couldn't walk. He couldn't talk. He couldn't do this. He couldn't do that. He was vomiting. His life was exiting small. And then he died. That's not the death of the righteous. No. Jesus gave up the ghost. Jesus commanded the spirit. That's how we die. If you are interested in dying, because you have to die. Are you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? You don't have to die. Because one of the things Jesus has brought, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Look at 2 Timothy 1, verse 9 and 10. This is grace encounter. Yes. Look at it. Quickly. It says, God who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to ours, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Next verse. But it's now made manifest unto them by the appearing of Jesus, of our Lord, of our Savior Jesus Christ. Who has what?
Abolished death.
Jesus has abolished death. You don't need to die.
No. Death is a choice.
So you don't believe it. I told you in the beginning, your understanding affects your believing, and your believing affects how you live, the kind of life you enjoy. Jesus has suspended death. He has abolished death and has brought life. That's what I'm talking about, the life of God. And mortality. He has brought life. Not only the life of God, he's also brought immortality to light through the gospel. So you don't have to die. You can just step into eternity. One day everybody's looking for you, they can't find you. Who are you? He's gone to be with the Lord. Yes. Is it too much for you?
No.
Are you the righteous of God?
No.
He says, you shall live. You shall enjoy life. How many of you like enjoying life? A life without sickness. Do you like it? The key to it is declaring that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm the righteousness of God. I enjoy health all the days of my life. Yeah. How many of you like good things? You want good things. You are surrounded with good things. You look around, there are nice cars around you, nice rooms around you, nice houses around you. Do you like such things? Guess what? Jesus had that in mind. That's why he came. I'm come that you may have life and have it to the full. He wants you to have good life.
Good life.
Good life. Yeah. You can be very poor. There's nothing around you. But you have the life of God. Right? You have the life of God. I don't know the condition that you are in now. Okay? But the life of God will take you from where you are and put you where God wants you to be. Yes. No, don't look around you. The Bible says, why we look not at the things which we see. The life of God does not look at the things which are around. So no matter what is going on, you are not moved. You live in another type of world. Yeah. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. You need to know the scriptures. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it's written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up as also by Jesus and shall present us with you. 15. Knowing for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Verse 16. Then it says, for that for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Then it says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things. So maybe right now, school fees is not being paid. Some things are not. Don't look at those things. Look at the life of God that is inside you. The life of God will pay your fees. You'll be surprised. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. My fees are paid. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am supplied for. Money is coming to me. It's better than sitting down in your house and saying, I don't know what is going to happen with my life. I don't have anyone to help me. I don't know what's going on. You look at it, my fees have not been paid. No, don't talk like that. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yes. What you are saying is what you will get. What you are believing is what will happen. Things are falling in place for me. Listen, you can be sleeping in a kiosk right now. If you keep confessing the fact, you believe that you are the righteousness of God and you keep confessing it, it says you shall live. You shall have a higher quality of life than what normal human beings have. You see, normal human beings sleeping in a kiosk will always be depressed. Isn't it? Always be depressed. I don't know. But you have the life of God. You may be sleeping in a kiosk now, but you will not live the way they are living. You will not talk the way they are talking. You will talk differently. I'm different. Not for long. I'm moving out. You tell them who are all the kiosk members that are with you. Watch me. You'll be surprised at what will be happening.
Watch me.
Watch me. Yeah. You tell them you'll be visiting me in my duplex very soon. Don't worry. I'll give you rooms to sleep in. I'll come and take care of you. Yeah. That's how you talk. Not, I don't know. Oh, life. Oh, God. God, if only. Oh, look at what you don't. God, you don't like me. Look at what you have brought me. Look at the conditions I'm in. No, don't talk like that. Are you a child of God? We don't talk like that. We don't think like that. Yeah. You may be sitting in sickness right now. It's some hypertension, whatever. Don't say, this thing is going to kill me.
No.
Are you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter 2:24. It says, Jesus' own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. That's on the cross. So that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. The word live unto righteousness means to be made righteous. Now we have the righteousness of God. It's a noun. To live as the righteous of God. Then it says, by whose stripes you were healed. Are you the righteous of God in Christ Jesus? No matter what sickness you have today, it says, by Jesus' stripes, you were. You can walk out of that sickness this morning. You were. Not you are going to be healed. You were. It's past tense. Your healing is past tense. Long time. Don't look at how you are feeling. Declare your righteousness. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Health is mine.
Health is mine.
Health is mine.
Health is mine.
Wisdom is mine.
Wisdom is mine.
Yeah. No matter what. Let me listen. Why I grew up? There was no ceiling in my house for several years. Only roof. You have a roof with wood. That's where I grew up. It's nothing. There were days where we did soup without fish. Many days. We had to plant corn in our front yard. Not even backyard, front yard. So that we can, listen, I know how to plant corn, how to harvest corn, how to
shell it,
how to grind it, how to knead it to become corn dough and cook it to become banku, or cook it to become kinky. I know all of that. That is how I grew up. That is where I grew up from. Then I learned some of these things and I started declaring, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Everything is working. Things are falling in place. Before long, that house that had no ceiling it has more than ceiling. Another house has appeared here. Another house has appeared here. More houses have come up all over. We had nothing. There was nothing. There was no hope. Nothing. There was nobody abroad who would bring somebody to you. There was nothing. I had no uncle abroad who would be sending money. There was nothing like that. All I had was God and his word. That's all I had. If you see me today, don't think I'm standing on something. That's what I'm talking. I'm not standing on anything. I'm standing on the word. Yes. So I don't care where you are. If you hold on to what I'm telling you, I tell you to change your life. It changed mine. It will change yours. One day my mother was on the brink of dying. She was in bed. She was gone. I was in Kumasi then. I was just a student. I just finished school, rather. They called me that, hey, your mom is going. Come and say bye-bye. When I came, I laid hands on her, prayed for her. When I got back to Kumasi, she was back to life. My mother is 76 now. 76. And still strong and happy and alive. No sickness, none of those things. It doesn't work. You see, I don't have a sibling who is sick. No, the life of God in me affects everybody. Even if they don't believe it, my own will affect them. I don't have a sibling who is sick. I don't have a mother who is... I don't have that. I don't have that by the grace of God. I don't have that. No. You can't just be sick like that. Yeah. From that day, my mother... Then she realized that I'm a man of God. After that experience, she said, oh, okay, now I understand. I told her, it's not time for you to go. Come back. My mom told me many years ago she wants to be at least 85. She told me, I want to be at least 85. I said, okay, no problem. That's where we are going. She was in her 50s when she told me that. I said, okay, no problem. We are going to 85. So no sickness. No, there's no hypertension, pressure, this, that. She's 76. She's always looking fine. Pastor Mark visits her almost every month, so she knows. Yeah, looking fine. Everything is fine. You can preserve your parents with that life. You can preserve your siblings with that life. You can preserve your environment with that life. Your environment will start changing. I tell you. Now, where I sleep, it's so nice, so beautiful. So nice. Just by believing. What is in you will come out. What is outside of you will not change until you hold on to what you know, what you have. I'm in some place. All things are mine. I'm in the sun place. I am healthy. I'm in the sun place. Oppression is far from me. I'm in the sun place. No terror can come to my doorstep. I'm in the sun place. I live far above all principalities and powers. I'm in a sound place. Prosperity is mine. And you watch your, it says, those who are righteous by faith shall live. They shall have their life sustained. They shall be delivered from all trouble. They shall keep going higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. Rise up and thank God for what you're sharing with. Nobody in my family had traveled abroad. Nobody had finished university. I broke all those things. Yeah. I'm the first of my father's children to go to university. And when I went, I opened the door. I said, everybody after me is going. And everybody after me has gone. Yeah. Everybody after me is going. Everybody went. Yeah. That cycle of poverty in your family will be... You can break it. It's actually a choice. Are you the righteous of God in Christ Jesus? You say, poverty, no more. You can't be here. No demonic activities around us. No. All devils out. And you don't need to do 70-day fast. No, just awaken to the fact that you are the righteousness of God. Awaken to it. It says, awaken to righteousness and sin not. Awaken to it. I came to awaken you to that fact. That is what you need. That is what you may be in the deepest and the darkest of holes. Listen, just keep confessing the righteousness. Believe it that you are the righteous. You, before long, you are out. Before long, you are flying all around the world. If the birds in this world can fly from one country to another without being prevented, how much more you who have the life of God? When birds are flying, nobody asks them for a visa. Why should they be asking you for a visa? See, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All things are mine.
All things are mine.
The nations are mine.
The nations are mine.
I'm favored.
I'm the favored of God.
Keep saying it. Don't stop talking it. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. Listen, when I got married, it was, we're just starting. We will need, my wife is a doctor. We'll need tickets from the hospital to eat. Yes. We have to get tickets. I've just been married for just about 13 years. We'll need tickets to be able to eat, buy lunch. So you see me, I'll go with my tickets to the canteen or the hospital, give them my whatever, because that's lunch. Without that, I can't have lunch. Yeah. Now I can feed everybody in the canteen. I can feed everybody. I can buy food for everybody here this afternoon, if I want to. I get there. I'm showing you what I did and what I still do. I'm sharing my heart with you. My children, I'm sharing my heart with you. Yes. I don't want to hide it from you. Yeah, because if you don't know, you think that it's always been like, no, we started from somewhere. We started from somewhere. Yeah. I'm the righteousness of God. I have the life of God. I live a glorious life. My life is getting more and more glorious. It's getting better by the day. I'm getting greater and stronger by the day. I'm getting wiser and wiser by the day. I'm getting healthier and healthier by the day. I'm getting richer and richer by the day. My life is going higher and higher every single day. In the name of the Lord Jesus, all things are mine. All things are mine. All things are mine. This whole city is mine. This whole country is mine. Everything is there because of me. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Can you give Jesus a big shout? Hallelujah. Now, I want you to lift up your voice and thank God for the keys He has given to you in this short meeting that we have had. Thank God. Father, we are grateful. Monda hasana mandelebe. Le dohusha apara gadabai. Mende geri gadabaloda. Mando hoshe pele gadabai. All things are mine. I'm in some place. I'm in some place. I have the best. I'm in some place. I have health. I walk in health. I walk in wisdom. Mando hoshe e paradana mande. Regolo balabai. Mandolo bolo 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 boy. Pandelege. I am in some place. All things are mine. I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ Jesus.
Maro dehe, pele grado madai, mandolo baradabaya, lendo la barabala dodo sheke de medere, mandolo boy, segene mino la bay, mandolo bolo 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 bolo, mande, all things are mine, all things are mine, I'm healthy, I'm rich, I'm full of wisdom, I'm full of the glory of God. I am far from oppression. I am far from oppression because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am far from oppression. Terror is far from me. Terror cannot find its way around me. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I walk in peace. I walk in glory. I live in blessings all the days of my life. I am the favored of God. With favor does he surround me like a shield. I am surrounded with favor like a shield. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I'm treated with preferential treatment. Wherever I find myself, I'm treated with preferential treatment. I am chosen. I am liked because I'm God's special chosen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Mande hi kalabarado. Mende isa aparadea. Lego hoshadamande. Rego nanamande. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I live. I enjoy a good life. I enjoy a glorious life. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Palo damando hoshi. Piga la baradabaya. Mendo hukala baradaba. Mandelega. 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 Rabalodaya. Palege de belebea. Dengo hose. Palo darabaya. Alagode. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I live holy. I walk in the holiness of God. I live a beautiful life. I live a glorious life. I live a life that is pleasing to God. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Malahande legola. Raka hasete demeno. Regola rabaya. Legu hadamande. Belo ramande debe. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, if you are sick in any part of your body, I want you to put your hand there right now. As I've been preaching, your sickness has been vanishing. But I want to affirm it. God told me to pray for the sick today. And I want to pray for you. Father, I pray for anyone who is ill in any way, in any form. By your stripes, we were healed. Thank you for the blood of Christ. Thank you for allowing your son Jesus to have his back plowed because of us. We are grateful. Lord, I proclaim healing. You said that the healing is for your children. It's like bread for your children. Thank you. It's the cheapest thing. Bread is the cheapest thing around. Thank you. That healing is the cheapest thing in your kingdom. Therefore, healing is released for every type of sickness, every type of disease, for hypertension. I see a young lady. You are young, but you are hypertensive. Healing is coming to you now. Your blood pressure is normalizing in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I'm seeing another young lady with diabetes. The Lord has healed you. You are healed in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm seeing someone with a problem with your throat. Like you've been having this pain in your throat. And thoughts have been coming to you that it is cancer, throat, cancer of the throat. That cancer is healed in the name of the Lord Jesus. You are healed now. I command that evil spirit to leave you now and never come back again in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you. I'm seeing lower back pain. Lower back pain. The Lord is healing you. All lower back pain is healed now in the name of the Lord Jesus. I just saw sores in the mouth. Sores in the mouth. Every sore in your mouth is healed. That disease will not come back to you again. It's been happening to you frequently. That disease is gone completely. In the name of the Lord Jesus. You are healed. 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 I just saw someone's intestines. It's like it's being perforated. The devil wants it to be perforated for you to have problems in your tummy. I curse that thing in the name of the Lord Jesus. I declare preservation for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Man, thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm seeing someone, you've been having a sore in your anus for some time now. It's not dying. I command that sore to die. In the name of the Lord Jesus. You are healed. You are healed. Cancer is killed.
in your life in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Celebrate Jesus for what he has done. Celebrate Jesus for what he has done. Thank you, Lord. Now, with every eye closed and every head bowed, you are here, you've never given your life to Christ. Brother, you are suffering. You've never given your life to Jesus Christ. You don't know how good the Lord is. I want to lead you to Christ. I want to bring you to your Savior, the one who came all the way from heaven just for you. If you were the only one here on earth, Jesus would still have come to die for you, to give you his life, to make you his righteousness. I want to help you begin your days of righteousness. If you are here, you want to give your life to Christ, I want you to shoot up your right hand and I'll lead you to Christ. Lift up your right hand if you want me to lead you to Christ. I can see your hand over there. I can see a hand over there. You want to give your life to Christ? I can see your hand. 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 I can see the hands. Lift it up very well so that I can see you. I can see your hand. I can see your hand. I can see your hand. I can see your hand over there. Now, I want you to do one more thing. I want you to come forward right now. Come forward so I can pray for you. Come forward. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Jesus was not shy to be put on a cross for you. Don't be shy. Come. Come. I saw some people's hands lifted on the right. Come. 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 Today is the day for you to be saved. Today is the day of salvation. Come. Come. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come to Jesus. It's a good life. It's a sweet life in Christ. God doesn't want you to miss this life. Today is your day. Don't say tomorrow, I'll come tomorrow. No, there may be never a tomorrow. The devil may be organizing your death tomorrow. Today is the day. Today is the day. I want you to come forward right now. I can see you. Come, come. Don't be shy. Come, come, come. Come, come. We have time for you. Come, come, come. Thank you for coming. Come. Hallelujah. Now, those of you in front, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to say this prayer after me. The Bible says that all you need to do is to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord over your life. Believe the fact that he's the Son of God. Believe the fact that he died on the cross of Calvary. And believe that on the third day, he was raised from the dead for your salvation. And then you confess it. So I'm going to, you believe, that's why you're here. So I'm going to lead you to do the outer part, which is the confession, to confess him as the Lord of your life. So I want you to say this prayer after me boldly from your heart. Close your eyes and say these words after me. Say, thank you, God, for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for me on the cross of Calvary. I believe that when he died, my sin died with him. I believe that he was buried, and on the third day, he was raised from the dead so that I can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I declare boldly that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Thank you, Father, for cleansing me from my sins with the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for making me your son, for making me your daughter. I am grateful. I declare boldly that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I declare boldly that I have eternal life in my spirit. I'm a child of God. Devil, you have no place in my life. I've been taken from your kingdom to the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus is my Lord from henceforth. Thank you, Father, for this blessing. Thank you for calling me your child and making me your father. I am grateful. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Can you give Jesus a big shout for these wonderful people who are here? Listen, The Bible says that there's joy before the angels for one. This is more than one person. I want you to give the Lord a very big shout for this blessing we have. Hallelujah. I'd like to welcome all of you to the family of God. I tell you, you're going to have a wonderful time in Christ, okay?
God bless you for listening. We pray that the Word of God will be rooted and grounded in your heart as you give attention to the Word. Kindly follow Pastor T and Love Economy Church on all social networks for more of God's Word. Don't forget to subscribe to the Pastor T podcast. Simply search for Pastor T on any podcast app, plug in, and enjoy God's Word. Visit our website at loveeconomychurch.org for more information. God bless.